It's back to basics for the school lunch menu, with the Coalition this week pledging to feed more students with less money.
Look, if you don't get that sushi is woke, I don't know how to wake you up.
What do you think woke food is?
Yeah, that's a really smart question, honestly.
Kia ora, ko Craig McCulloch aho, ane te pūrongo tō rangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics, I'm Craig McCulloch. The free lunch programme, dubbed Ka Ora Ka Oko, goes back to 2019, when the Labour New Zealand First Government first announced its rollout.
A programme to feed hungry kids with a free lunch at school each day is going to be trialled in 30 schools next year.
Since then, it's been significantly ramped up and currently caters to more than 230,000 students across 1,000 schools in Kura in the lowest decile areas.
One in five families in New Zealand don't have what they need to be able to provide quality kai on the table every day. And we know we need to fix that.
Ex-David Seymour has long been a critic of the school lunch program and how it's been run. He campaigned last year on scrapping it altogether, labelling it a free lunch farce and a waste of money, criticising the level of food wastage.
In fact, they're almost literally feeding taxpayers' hard-earned money to pigs.
And so it caused some alarm across the education sector when Mr. Seymour was given ministerial responsibility for the scheme he'd promised to abolish. As part of coalition negotiations, ACT secured a commitment to, quote, improve the cost-effectiveness of the program. And Mr. Seymour quickly put it under review. In March, he told Checkpoint he intended to make the scheme better targeted and more efficient.
There's a couple of things you can change. There's the number of schools, there's the number of kids within a school, and then there is the kind of delivery that you have. Those are basically the three things that you can change. All of those are in open discussion at the moment.
The comments only fanned the flames of fear, with principals, teachers, parents and public health experts banding together to try save the scheme. On Wednesday, David Seymour at long last unveiled the result of his review. And it prompted a certain surprise. The scheme would continue unchanged for those eligible primary schools for at least another 2.5 years.
There will be no change this year, next year, or in 2026 to how the Healthy School Lunch Program is delivered for year 1 to 6 students.
Music to the ears of the roughly 80,000 primary pupils being served up those lunches and their parents.
That is good, because if my parents can't cook, they, at least they are getting something to eat.
Like, we are working parents, but sometimes we do 2 or 3 jobs and it becomes difficult, or sometimes we just run out of time, you know.
Yeah, it's very good news. Really appreciate of that.
Not only that, but free lunches will actually be extended to 10,000 preschoolers, the most impoverished, aged 2 to 5, in select early learning centres.
We are doing this because of strong research, including from Professor Sir Peter Gluckman, showing that investment in the early stages of life is more effective than at any other stage that the government can put its funding and resources into.
That's not to say there's no change at all. Older students, those at intermediate and secondary schools, can expect lunch to look different from early next year. They'll be moved to what the coalition is calling an alternative delivery model. Basically, back to basics.
We accept that this is a change and that some people will be concerned about the change. Certainly when I spoke to principals, they had a lot of questions. But I believe at the end of the day, we will have saved a significant amount of money, delivered the nutrition to the kids who need it most, and done so in a way that is convenient for the schools.
Currently, schools provide lunches through a whole mix of models. Some order them from the Education Ministry, some make them in-house, and some use local suppliers like cafes. There are about 150 suppliers countrywide. Under the new approach, there will effectively be one supplier, the government. Schools will have to order food from the government through an online portal, then store, prepare and distribute the lunches themselves. The government will bulk buy a whole range of food, using its purchasing power to get a reduced cost.
That means that we'll be buying food for around 150,000 students. And when you go and buy food for 150,000 people, you expect a pretty good discount. That's how we believe we can save significant amounts of money while delivering the same quality of nutrition and value that people would expect in their lunches.
The Coalition has set aside $240 million a year to run the program for the next 2 years. That's about $100 million a year less than what the Education Ministry estimates the program costs now.
We are budgeting $3 per lunch at the moment. Kids can budget $2. If you look at what big catering companies are able to do, well, I was sceptical myself, but they actually managed to provide very nutritious food at very low prices.
That $3 a lunch price point is coming down from about $8 right now.
I was initially surprised too, but you know, if you look at what is possible when you're buying, you know, a quarter of a million lunches compared with what's possible if you've got 156 providers, some of them being the local Subway or Peter Pitt down the road from the school, it is possible to do it much more efficiently.
The surprise and scepticism is shared by some of the existing suppliers, like Soul Kitchen in Taranaki, which serves up lunch at Opunake High School and a number of local primary schools. Here's its co-owner, Belinda Philp, appearing on Checkpoint.
The lunches I supply cost me more than that in food cost alone. I'm not sure how big suppliers could get that price right down without compromising quality.
Well, tell me what one of your lunches looks like for the high school.
Oh, so yesterday we served a lasagna. On the side, they get a small muffin or brownie. And they would have got fruit as well from the previous day's option.
And by your calculation, Belinda, that lunch would cost way more than what the government is aiming for, $3 a lunch.
So it's likely to be $4.20 to create that lunch.
The government, though, has been consulting the charity Kids Can, which provides its own separate lunch program for schools and early childhood centres. Its chief executive and co-founder, Julie Chapman, says it can serve up meals for $2 a pop or less.
Just in early childhood centres, for example, we deliver a range of fresh ingredients every week to those centres, and they are able to make meals like chicken stir fry with veggies, lasagna with veggies, cauliflower and mac and cheese, and also sandwiches as well. And because of, I guess, our supplier relationships and buying power that we've built up, we can absolutely do those for $2 or less sometimes for a serve. In schools, we also have a range of heat and eat meals that does include butter chicken with brown rice, spaghetti bolognese, which is actually produced for us by Patango, beef chilli, rice and soups, and the average cost of that is around $2 as well.
At the higher price point of $8 a meal, David Seymour says some of the lunches currently being provided are extravagant by the standards of most parents. And so begins the sideshow to this week's announcement, the woke food fight. Mr. Seymour says the new lunches will feature more shop staples, like sandwiches and fruit. Gone are the days, he says, of so-called woke food, like quinoa and sushi.
Oh, look, if you don't get that sushi's woke, I don't know how to wake you up. But the key message here is that we are introducing the kinds of foods that are put in the lunch boxes of the children, the other 75% of kids who rely on their parents to send their lunch.
And it wasn't just sushi in his firing line, but couscous and hummus too.
Someone talked to me this morning, I asked them what hummus was. They said that rice and quinoa had a baby and it wasn't good.
The argument seems something of a straw man, given most schools are serving up more kid-friendly meals like macaroni or cottage pie, as opposed to quinoa or hummus. Asked for evidence that the so-called woke food was even being dished up, he didn't have much.
Well, we've certainly seen a lot of reports and pictures of quinoa or quinoa, as I've recently learned, being served.
It's disappointing that he seems to think he knows what's better for kids' nutrition than the experts do, particularly as he does not seem to know that hummus is made with chickpeas rather than with rice.
Labour's reaction and that of the wider opposition was remarkably muted, settling on restrained bemusement as opposed to outrage.
I see that he seems to be appointing himself nutritionalist in chief for schools and proposes to remove choice.
It's quite funny to see a ostensible libertarian micromanaging the ingredients in school lunches. And I mean, what do you think woke food is?
Feed the kids.
It's noteworthy that this was largely the extent of the opposition's criticism. Not a single question was asked of the government about the scheme in Parliament's question time this week. And the Greens didn't even issue a media release. Labor's described the announcement as a win for Kiwi Kids and a backtrack. The teachers' unions, primary and secondary, were also mostly complimentary, as was the Child Poverty Action Group. Perhaps for that reason, the Prime Minister Christopher Luxon did not appreciate the diversion to discussing the varying levels of wokeness of various foods.
That's news. Is it news today? It's all the big questions from TVNZ today, isn't it? Fantastic. I just say, given everything going on in this country, do you think that's the most sensible question to be asking? Do you think that's a really smart question, honestly? With everything going on in New Zealand today, when you've got people outside in this country who are struggling to get from paycheck to paycheck, who actually want us to rebuild the economy, restore law and order, deliver better public services, that's the most important question of today.
At a time today...
Yeah, when we've actually delivered more school lunches to more kids at lower costs and good lunches, that's a great outcome.
The Prime Minister might want to take that up with his future deputy, given it was David Seymour who created that conversation in the first place. Where there was criticism or concern about the announcement, it centred on the quality of the food which would be provided, a worry voiced most prominently by the lobby group Health Coalition Aotearoa. Speaking on NewsHub's AM show, its co-chair, Boyd Swinburne, put out a plea for more detail.
If you drop the amount that you're paying for food down to $3, then it's highly likely you're going to drop the nutrition value and the quality of the food. The current foods have to meet nutrition guidelines, and that's really important. Only 5% of kids in this country eat the recommended amount of fruit and vegetables. We have this huge obesity problem, dental decay, and this is the only program around that is helping these nutrition issues with kids, and it's only to 25% of the kids. So, you know, what I'm really worried about is this is the biggest nutrition intervention this country's ever seen, and now it's been pared back with the promise that it's not going to compromise nutrition, it's not going to compromise these goals.
Well, I mean...
But I'm worried about that.
It is reducing the amount that each lunch would cost, but isn't that just because it's economies of scale and you're going to be centralising production of it so you get those, you know, you get some price, discount on producing something in bulk.
Yes, you do. And if you've got a very short focus just about saving money for this particular budget for the next couple of years, as opposed to a long-term view about investing for the future and investing in our kids, then these are the decisions you make. And that's what's happened in the hospital system with huge centralised catering for all of the hospitals. Mm. When you talk to, as we have been doing, getting the input from the people on the ground about what they value about the program, there's many, many other aspects that they value, like the local employment, like the engagement with the local food system, whānau coming into the school. A lot of schools actually have their own in-school kitchens that they put together the food. So this is going to be a massive change for a lot of schools.
Is it possible, though, to produce something in bulk and for that food to still be nutritious?
Well, we don't know, but this, for it to be in bulk and for it to arrive in a whole bunch of pallets for the teachers to put it together and make the sandwiches heat it up or unwrap the muesli bars or whatever is coming, we don't know.
The other criticism that has had some cut through relates to the way in which the government has funded the scheme. A host of ministers, including David Seymour, have been scathing of the former Labour government for setting up what they call fiscal cliffs, or temporary funding. For example, Labour had funded the lunch programme only up to the end of this year, which it says was because they were reviewing its rollout. Now, though, despite the Coalition's outrage at that, it has done the exact same, setting aside only enough money for just 2 more years, and no more.
It's absolute hypocrisy.
No, a fiscal cliff is when you say you're going to do something but don't actually fund it. We're being very clear, we're funding this for 2 years while we consider if there's a better way to do it. It's not as though we've said it will continue ad infinitum as they did and not put the money aside. We've said we're funding 2 years.
They're funding 2 years while reviewing the scheme's rollout, which sounds a whole lot like Labour's supposed fiscal cliff. What comes after that funding runs out at the end of 2026 is an open question. An expert advisory group is being set up with representatives from KidsCan, Save the Children, the Heart Foundation and Ryman Healthcare. It will help set up the new program beginning next year and will then turn its mind to analysing the overall scheme and whether there are better ways to deliver it. Mr. Seymour says expect a full redesign top to bottom.
I think it's reasonable to ask, in between parents, charities and three different government departments, along with two businesses, who exactly should be responsible for providing food in schools? Over the next 2 years, we will explore that question and find out if we can do even better.
It's worth noting, though, that by the end of 2026, New Zealand will have been through another election, and that is as likely as this review to determine the programme's future. Expect the debate to be revisited during the heat of another campaign. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Craig McCulloch. Thanks for joining me. Matua.